Labas and good afternoon. This is guest Studis Rei with us for Independent Lithuanian Radio. Here on KTYM 1460 on your AM dial and live streaming audio over the internet at ktym.com. That's www.ktym.com. Some haunting ancient melodies from Atalia here on Independent Lithuanian Radio, and thanks again for tuning in and giving us a half an hour of your time. As always, we bring you up to date on the weather in Lithuania, especially in Vilnius, the capital, which is where your plane will land in case you decide to go there in the next week to 10 days. And tonight, it will be 33 degree low, tomorrow a 41 degree high, and that's basically kind of it for the week. During the day, it'll get into 40, 41, 42, and at nighttime, go below freezing, causing ice on the roads. So it'll be pretty consistent, 40 during the day, 30 during the night. And that's the weather in Vilnius, the capital of Lithuania. And in solidarity, we want to tell you that there are something like 25,000 people. 25,000 people in Independence Square in Kiev, Ukraine. And it's about 34 degrees tonight. And they're building fires. And if you're watching television, it's reminiscent of what happened in Vilnius in 1991. Of course, the violence was not as intense. The violence came from one side. Lithuania peacefully demonstrated. And I'm not making a judgment call here, but I'm saying that both sides are shooting at each other, at least according to official reports. Now, I have a tendency to not trust official reports coming out, anything that's filtered through Moscow, because there's potentially a twisted version of the news that the protesters are shooting police, and therefore the police are shooting protesters. But there are reports of anywhere from 80 to 150 people dead already from the shootouts and the violence. You should pay attention, especially if you're younger. If you're a little younger and you did not see or experience what happened in Lithuania in 1991, I urge you to watch your evening news, turn on the internet, see what's happening in Kiev. Lithuania went through the same thing, though thankfully not quite as bloodily. But anyway, tomorrow, Sunday, in Kiev, it's expected to get all the way up to 39, and still there will be 25,000 people who want their freedom in Independence Square in Kiev, Ukraine. Now, we're going to talk a little bit more about this later, but right now we're going to get down to our own local community news and our community calendar. And the first thing that's going on is tonight at St. Casimir's Parish Hall. That's at the corner of Griffith Park Boulevard and St. George Streets. Okay, Griffith Park Boulevard, St. George Streets. Parapio Sala, St. Casimir's Parish Hall, is going to present the Pancake Carnival by Spindulis. In other words, what is known as the Blinų Balius, or Pancake Ball, or Lithuanian Mardi Gras. Call it whatever you want. It's the pre-Lenten festival, all-you-can-eat potato pancakes, and all sorts of other good stuff, including sausages and the like, will be served. That's tonight. Everyone is invited to the Spindulis traditional pre-Lenten carnival, our 52nd pancake party. Tonight at 6 o'clock at St. Casimir's Parish Hall, the theme is Miracles to Behold, and we will be celebrating 65 years of Spindulis, the Lithuanian Youth Ensemble's formation. Anyone brought up in Los Angeles has probably participated in the youth ensemble known as Spindlis. And tonight you can have a lot of fun. It's a sellout event. It's probably too late, but you should give it a try to check it out and see what the young people of Spindlis will present to you tonight. It's always a lot of fun. You can call Dangola Varniene. She's been running this for years. She works hard. She loves it, and everyone loves her. So call Dangola, make a reservation, see if you can get a seat. Standing room only, perhaps. Even that's worth it. Call Dangola at 818-249-7574. One more time, pens and pencils ready. I'll give you a couple of seconds here to walk across the room, get a pen or a pencil, and write down the phone number and call Dangola at 818-249-7574, 818-249-7574, and get yourself a spot to participate tonight in Blyno Balius, the Pancake Ball Lithuanian Mardi Gras at the corner of Griffith Park Boulevard and St. George Streets in Los Angeles, Silver Lake, Los Feliz District. That's Parapio Sala, St. Casimir's Parish Hall. You know, the first weekend of March is always Kazuko Muge, which is St. Casimir's Feast, and the Lithuanian Scout Association always has a sort of a crafts fair, arts and crafts fair, and food court, and entertainment on the first weekend of March. And that happens to be the 2nd of March, following the 11 o'clock Mass in the morning at St. Casimir's Parish Hall again. There'd be handicrafts made by the Scouts, lotteries, and other games for the entire family. Delicious lunches, dasheros irkopustai. You know what that means? Sausages and sauerkraut. Traditional Lithuanian food will be made by the Grazinietes. Delicious lunches, baked goods. Academici will also participate. An added addition this year will be a book fair organized by the Saturday School, so you can bring your used Lithuanian books for a book exchange. You may just find something new to read. The Lithuanian Scouting Organization is 96 years old and strong and moving forward, so let's all support young and old alike. I've always been a supporter and a member of Lithuanian Scouting and still actively participate. So bring your little ones, bring yourself, bring your whole family for a great Sunday next week. That's next week, March 2nd. Kazuko Muge, or Kazuko Fair, Sunday the 2nd of March at 11 o'clock, after the 11 o'clock Mass services at St. Casimir's Church. And again, there will be arts and crafts and plenty of food and good company. So I hope to see you on March 2nd at St. Casimir's, corner of Griffith Park Boulevard and St. George Streets in the Silver Lake, Los Feliz District of Los Angeles. And you know, sometimes on the show we just blow it and we forget something. It gets buried in paper. And this is something that we need to all celebrate. And that is the 99th birthday of Mečys Mikatauskas. He turned 99 years old. 99, imagine that. Imagine you living to 99. Mečys Mikatauskas turned 99 on February 5th. So we want to wish him a very belated, but a very happy Ilgausu Metu and happy birthday. Ilgausu Metu to Mečys Mikatauskas for 99 years old on February 5th. Finally, before we go to break, we just want to remind you that the Baltic American Freedom League, BAFL, has done great work for Lithuania, Latvia, and Estonia, and Washington, and lobbying, and the like. Will be having their annual awards banquet this year at St. Casimir's Parish Hall. It sort of revolves between the Latvian Hall and St. Casimir's. And it'll be at St. Casimir's this year in May, and we'll have more details in the weeks to follow. But put it in your calendar that in May, the Baltic American Freedom League will have its awards banquet at St. Casimir's Parish Hall. cost will be $50 for a delicious dinner, great entertainment, and a wonderful speaker. And you got to love a little bit of politics, because that's what makes the world go round. We'll be right back. Well, thanks again for continuing to listen to Independent Lithuanian Radio. You know, I have so much, I don't know what the word is. Is it sympathy or empathy for what's happening in the Ukraine right now, that I'm going to cover it quite a bit. And imagine being in the Olympics, okay, and you're part of this Russian Federation thing, and you're neither Russian nor are you Western, and you're representing the Ukraine, you're on the Ukrainian team, and your president has decided that he's going to side with Moscow instead of the West. Two members of Ukraine's Olympic team withdrew from the Sochi Games on Thursday in a show of solidarity with protesters who are locked in a violent conflict with their government in the capital city of Kiev. Bogdana Matsotska, an alpine skier, and her father and coach, Oleg Matsotsky, announced on Matsotsky's Facebook page that they would be leaving Sochi before Matsotska had finished competing. She's 24 and will not take part in the women's slalom. She did not take part, which was scheduled yesterday. Other Ukrainian athletes have left the games to return to their homeland, though reports have indicated that most of them had completed their events. Others, like figure skater Natalia Popova, have remained in Sochi. After finishing her figure skating short program on Wednesday night, she said that she had not tracked the protest on television because she did not have a TV in her room. But, quote, "My friends and family have been telling me that it's getting worse every day." She added, "It's very unfortunate because you just want peace everywhere. But all I can do is focus on my performance, and hopefully my skating can inspire the people back in Ukraine to be more peaceful with each other." In explaining the decision to leave early, Matsotsky wrote in the Facebook post that, quote, "As a protest against lawless action made against protesters, the lack of responsibility from the side of the president and his lackey government, we refuse further performance at the 2014 Sochi Olympic Games." End of quote. It is believed that at least 25 people have died and hundreds more were injured in a confrontation alone that day. Along with his message, Matsotsky posted a picture that appeared to be of him and Matsotska standing in front of the Olympic rings and holding a Ukrainian flag. He wrote that he and his daughter had come to Sochi hoping that President Viktor Yanukovych and his government would negotiate peacefully with the opposition during the Olympics. They added that they believe the violence that erupted against protesters was, quote, "a violation of the old principle of the games, the Olympic truce." You know, this article just goes on, and it talks like in the Olympic Village, Ukrainian athletes added black mourning bands to the blue and black Ukrainian flags hanging from the balconies of the rooms they were staying. They had all kinds of flack thrown at them for wanting to wear black armbands while they participated, because, after all, this is Putin's Russia, and Putin's Russia considers Ukraine the prize. Remember that Lithuania was head of the European Union for 6 months. The revolving presidency of the EU was in Lithuania. And one of the goals was to get the Ukraine to go west. And instead, the president, Yanukovych, decided to take billions, I'm talking with a B, billions of dollars as a bailout from Moscow, from Putin, and went east, went towards Moscow. And that's what is exacerbating all this violence. And no one really knows. The official numbers were well over 80 on Friday, yesterday, dead. And that includes, supposedly, police on the other side who were shot by protesters with live ammunition. Again, as I said earlier, I have skeptical feelings about all of these statistical numbers that the protesters are shooting at police. But anyway, hundreds of people are dying. Hundreds. Not 10, not 12, 13, but hundreds. And there are tens of thousands of Ukrainians in Kiev's Independence Square. This will not end. This is not pretty. And the world is watching because of the Olympics. And thank God it took a week. It took a week because these protests have been going on since December. In December, something like 25,000 people assembled to say they wanted to go with the West in the square. That's where the sympathies lie. But the president, who was elected, we can talk about and think about whether these elections are rigged or not rigged. It really doesn't matter. He was elected supposedly democratically. At least the Western press buys into that. And okay, let's say he was. But the bottom line is he's been bribed by Moscow. He lives in a mansion. He has billions of dollars, and he has gone east. Meanwhile, the blood is flowing in the streets. The blood is flowing in the streets. This is not some little riot. Okay, this is something that's gone on for months in Kiev, Ukraine. And what they want is to go towards the European Union. Now, I have my own problems about the EU and all that, but I certainly have a lot more of a problem of the government deciding to go east, or therefore cooperate and align itself with Moscow and Putin. So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. It's a long story. It's a long, complicated story. But that's the truth of the matter. Tens of thousands of people are risking their lives right now, at this very moment, in cold, freezing weather. Real live ammunition is being shot and people are dying so that they can live something like we live, something like Westerners live, something like Europeans live, like French people live, like Germans live, like Americans live, so that they can live that way instead of being tied to Moscow. And we should all be paying attention and support the movement of the Ukraine towards the EU and away from Moscow. And by the way, if there's any embarrassment to Russia, to the Sochi Olympics, to Putin, because of what's happening in Kiev, in the Ukraine, good. They should be embarrassed and they should be ashamed. On to other stories. On a whole other level, we have some, and regular listeners of Independent Lithuanian Radio will know that I have no problem expressing my opinion, and there's a really stupid thing going on in Lithuania right now, and that is a referendum banning the sale of land to foreigners. Okay, now get this, okay? If you have Lithuanian roots, your grandparents were Lithuanian, and you know, you married an American Chinese, an Armenian American, or whatever, and all that stuff, and you go to Lithuania and you see it's beautiful, and it is, and you decide you want to buy a lot by a lake, you can't do it. They won't let you. Okay, And they made a deal with the European Union. Part of being part of the EU was that eventually they would allow the sale of land to foreigners. Okay? Anybody can come to the United States. Anybody. Anybody can land here in an airplane, get off, and bring $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 and buy a couple of acres out in Palmdale, Lancaster, or a couple of $100,000 and buy a lot in Los Angeles, okay? No restrictions. There's an opinion piece by Stratfor Global Intelligence. This is not something by some, you know, second-rate outfit. Stratfor Global Intelligence is very well respected, and you got to pay a lot of money to be a subscriber. And they write, only a week after a referendum against immigration in Switzerland led to tensions with the EU, another country could face similar situation. In Lithuania, a group of farmers, unions, and political parties have collected enough signatures to organize a referendum against removing a ban on the sale of land to foreigners. You know, you can go, you and I can go to downtown Vilnius right now and buy an apartment, okay, in one of these giant apartment buildings, but you can't buy land. And that's the difference. You can buy what we would think of as a condo, but you can't buy the dirt underneath it. Since Lithuania agreed with the European Union to lift those restrictions by mid-year this year, keeping them, those restrictions, would put Vilnius in violation of European laws. The referendum is a reminder of the fragile balance between sovereignty and supranationalism that defines the EU and the growing gap between European citizens and national and supranational bureaucracies. While the Lithuanian government can take measures to avert a serious rift with the European Union in the short term, these episodes will become more frequent across the continent in coming years, says Stratfor Intelligence. When Lithuania joined the EU in 2004, it was allowed to temporarily ban the sale of land to foreigners. Vilnius is supposed to lift those restrictions in May of this year, May 2014. The original deadline was 2011, but Vilnius was given an extension. The coming end of the restrictions prompted a reaction from several local groups, including political parties such as the Lithuanian Nationalist Union and the Lithuanian Peasant and Greens Union, as well as local farmers. These groups believe that lifting the current ban could drive land prices beyond most Lithuanians' reach and want the ban to be made permanent. On the 17th of February 2014, just about a week ago, Lithuanian authorities said the campaigners had collected enough signatures, over 300,000, to hold a referendum, which will have to be held between May and July and need a turnout of 50% to be binding. This episode is symbolic for many reasons and significant. First, it involves control of land, the ultimate symbol of sovereignty. The question of land ownership is an extremely sensitive issue in most countries, as locals are often wary of foreigners acquiring land in their neighborhoods. Now, most countries that joined the European Union between 2004 and 2007 were allowed to apply temporary bans and struggled to lift those restrictions when they expired. The issue generated controversies in Romania, in Hungary, in Bulgaria, all of which threatened to make the bans permanent. In the end, these countries decided to lift the bans but maintained substantial bureaucratic requirements to make it quite difficult for foreigners to acquire land. The issue is particularly sensitive in Lithuania, because, simply, it's a small country of barely 3 million people whose history is defined by the permanent threat of invasion by powerful neighbors who occupy their land. Opinion polls show that roughly 2/3 of Lithuanians oppose the selling of land to foreigners. foreign individuals are already allowed to purchase land on certain conditions. They have to prove residency in the country and their involvement in agricultural activities. And foreign investors can acquire land through Lithuanian companies. But the prospect of a broader opening is making some Lithuanians nervous. Events in Lithuania also highlight the EU's fragile balance between national sovereignty and supranational integration. The EU was built in such a way that some aspects of national sovereignty were given to supranational institutions while others remained under national control. Two factors are threatening this fragile balance. First, the EU crisis is making member countries reassess their positions in the continental bloc. This sometimes happens at the government level, as in the UK, the United Kingdom, and Hungary, the most vocal crisis of EU integration. But most of the time it happens at the voter level, as illustrated by the increasing popularity of nationalist parties across the continent. The issue is particularly sensitive in Lithuania, a small nation of barely 3 million people, again. The second factor is the natural consequence of the process of integration. The deeper the process gets, the harder it is for nations, particularly small countries like Lithuania, to give up degrees of sovereignty as the issues become progressively more sensitive. And I digress from the article, but you wonder why I criticize the whole idea of the European Union. This is, you get what you pay for, and this is what Lithuania has done. Finally, back to the article. The Lithuanian referendum is a reminder of the growing tensions between governments and their constituencies. Lithuania's main political parties in both the government and the opposition reject the referendum because it would jeopardize the country's position in the EU. Brussels is likely to impose sanctions on Lithuania if a permanent ban is approved. The Swiss government made a similar argument, trying to persuade voters to reject the application of immigration quotas as they would jeopardize Bern's agreements with Brussels in several areas. However, both Switzerland and Lithuania are struggling to convince a growing number of voters who see the EU as a threat to their own national sovereignty and identity. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, we're running short on time, but in the short run, the Lithuanian government has a little room to maneuver. Vilnius probably will try to appease farmers by introducing some limits on the sale of land to foreigners, as other countries have done in recent months. However, at this point, it's unclear whether it will be enough to cancel the referendum or even convince people to support the government if the referendum is held. And in the meantime, people like Vytautas Landsbergis, the first leader of Free Lithuania, are telling people to withdraw their signatures from the petitions for the referendum. And the Lithuanian Constitutional Court has expressed concerns about the legality of banning the sale of land to foreigners, so Lithuanian judges could also challenge the referendum. So this is just a big mess. And, you know, the idea that someone will buy the piece of land next to you and make it too expensive should make people happy. It would mean your land is more expensive. Ever heard of comps? Don't you like it when your neighbor sells their house for about four times more than what you paid for yours? What does that do for you? It makes your house worth more. These people simply don't get it because the free market has not quite taken hold in Lithuania. This is Kęstutis Reividas for Independent Lithuanian Radio at KTYM 1460 on your AM dial. Hope to see you at Blynų Balius, the Pancake Ball, tonight at St. Kazimierz. And next week, support Lithuanian scouting by coming to Kaziuko Mugė next Sunday at St. Kazimierz Parish Grounds. Indoors, outdoors, food and fun for everyone. Bye-bye.